Good evening, Saints. I am not Josh Cole. Yeah. Josh was kind enough to cover for me the first week of the weekend of the month, so we swapped. So, although I haven't looked at the July one, I'm assuming I'm probably on next week too, so. All right, so let's go over to Titus. We will continue kind of working our way through that. Sorry, I was thinking two things at once, can't do that. All right, so thank you, Mr. Gold, for covering for me. I really appreciate it. When I approached him today and said, I am preaching today, he's like, oh, good. I was going to freak out if I saw my name on there, which, you know, I forgot to tell Kevin and whatever. But thank you again, Mr. Gold, I appreciate it. All right, so let's go over to Titus. Last week, or the last time I had the opportunity to preach, we had finished up a discussion kind of working through elders and what their qualifications are and what they're supposed to do and so on and so forth. I think the scripture is really clear on what those qualifications are and why they're there. One of the things that we talked about the last time specifically was regarding one of the tasks that's given to an elder, and that is, of course, dealing with what the scripture calls in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, rebellious men, empty talkers, and deceivers, and how that should be handled. Where we're going to pick it up tonight is actually in chapter 2, where Paul shifts gears here a little bit, and we're going to work on just a couple of verses here out of chapter 2 and make some connections here, hopefully. As you may remember, Titus is all about a letter, or it is a letter, written by Paul to Titus. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 gives you the reason for it. It says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains, and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. I guess just verse 5. That he was left in Crete so that he would set in order what remains. This involved, as I mentioned, the appointing of elders to shepherd the local congregation. That was really kind of the driving force behind this letter. Here in chapter 2, as I mentioned, he also he kind of shifts gears here, and he begins to work on what he calls sound doctrine and the duties of the older and the younger. So we're going to focus our attention tonight on what the Scripture says of the responsibilities for older men. Okay, and then next week we're going to talk about older women. So, just for context, let's go ahead and read Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And we're going to read all the way through the chapter. Don't worry, there's only 15 verses. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, great King, we thank you again for this and every day that you bless us with. We thank you for the opportunity, as always, to come together and to hear your word and to partake of the loaf and of the cup. And ultimately, Lord, to encourage each other. Lord, this world is dead set against the success of your church. This world wants to see nothing more than for your saints to be discouraged. And so, Lord, I pray that as your saints, as your lights in this darkness, that we work to encourage one another, that you help us to build one another up, and that you help us to understand that the Scriptures are written in such a way that they are to pierce the heart, and not just once, not just at the concept of sin, but also at the concept of growth. Lord, you are there to push us forward. And I just pray, Lord, that your words will be brought forth tonight by me in a manner that is, that fits your purpose. I'm humbled also, Lord, by the opportunity that you give me to preach. To stand before these saints here in Billings is an honor, and I'm humbled by it, Lord, and just pray that you help us and help me, Lord, to bring forth your word in a manner that is clear and encouraging. I thank you again so much for Christ, and thank you for his example. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so Titus chapter 2, let's just read the first two verses there. It says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance." Now, remember, this chapter 2, verse 1 comes right on the heels of dealing with some things that aren't very good. Dealing with people who are rebellious and gossips and so on and so forth. And so he kind of turns the corner and he says, "But you speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." If you've ever been here before, you've probably heard me preach, and I like to know what words mean. I like to look them up and understand where the words come from to make sure that I'm not thinking that I know what they mean. So we're going to go through those again, and I'm going to slaughter some Greek for you. So, get out your plates, I guess. I'll cut you off a slice. So, in verse 1 here, the word sound is hugia, whatever. Yeah. It's G5198, if you want to look it up in Strong's. I'm not going to bother trying to pronounce it. I was asking my wife, and I still, even with the phonetics, I can't make it out. But anyway, that word, essentially, it means literally to be well, to be in good health, to be free from debilitation or incapacity. It figuratively, basically, it means to be uncorrupt or true. So, sound means to be whole, it means to be healthy, it means to be right or uncorrupted, it means to be pure, okay? And then when we look at the word doctrine, that's easily defined. That word is G1319, and it is defined as teaching or instruction, a body of knowledge that is commonly practiced. So, we put the two words together, it's basically uncorrupted teaching. That's what sound doctrine is all about. So it's really that which is spiritually healthy, that which is wholesome, uncorrupt, and fully capable. That's the thing that I thought was interesting when I put those two words together, that sound means capable, and doctrine means teaching. So it is capable teaching. Well, what is that teaching capable of? Well, life and godliness and everything in between. Any other questions? Okay. So the thing is that sound doctrine is going to include a lot of things. It's going to include a lot of different aspects and facets. It's going to include things that, like spiritual truths that relate to the inerrancy of God's Word. That's sound doctrine. If you don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that it is inerrant, as God presented it to us, then why bother? How about the spiritual truths related to the Gospel, to the true message of the Gospel, and salvation, and who Jesus is, and the nature of the church? So what is the nature of the church? Is it a building somewhere? No. Mr. Simpson's been covering this in the Tabernacle study, and helping us understand that the physical isn't really what's important. It's what the spiritual is what God's been getting at. So what is the nature of the church? What are all those things? These are the things that would include sound doctrine, including teaching on what the Holy Spirit is. That's a big one, brethren. And the same thing with the new creation. Also, very important concepts. These are sound doctrine teachings. Now, there's also some exhortations that you could say are sound doctrine that are related to godly conduct. So this is certainly the case in our text, where the things which are fitting for sound doctrine include how Christians are to be and act. Notice that in this passage here in Titus chapter 2, he talks about older men, older women, young men, young women. I think I have that out of order. But you get the point. It gets everybody. Right? So there are ways that the Scripture describes how we should behave in the church. So in this study, we're going to focus essentially on verse 2, on older men. So let's read that verse again. It says, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Okay? So, let's define a few words here. Temperate, we probably, a very similar word to that is sober. So you understand what that word means, but it's G3524. And properly, it means not intoxicated, free from negative influences or intoxicants, is another way you can put that. Figuratively, it means clear-minded or sober, free from life-dominating influences. That's pretty interesting to me if you think about what that word means. If you think about temperate, free from life-dominating influences. Now, you could think of all kinds of things that can be life-dominating influences, and I've given you examples before. I'm sure you can think of your own. But the whole point of this is that it's supposed to be something that isn't keeping you back. Used metaphorically, it basically means sober-minded, watchful, aware of what's going on. So it is that state of mind which is free from the excessive influence of passion, lust, or emotion. It is that state of mind which lends itself to the heavenly mindset. How about the word dignified? That is G4586. It basically is what is dignified. Or, I love this one, has gravitas. Okay? It's weighty. It's that is deeply respected because it is viewed as being majestic or having gravity or grave or serious. It's venerable or reverend or reputable. It's a state of mind and a composure that is derived from that higher citizenship. Again, a heavenly mindset. The heavenly mindset, brethren, really is key to maintaining our faith and salvation. Know Jesus. Know who Jesus is and know who you are in Jesus. How many times have you heard that? Not enough. Obviously. Because guess what? We're still here. Right? And I don't mean that negatively. I mean, hey, we're still here. I need to keep hearing it. So, in this word, there lies something of a majestic and awe-inspiring quality, which doesn't repel people, but rather invites and attracts. So, what about sensible? It is G4998. It just means discreet. I love it when they use other words that we just described to define the other ones. Sober or temperate. of a sound mind, self-disciplined in one's freedom, self-restrained in all passions and desires. Basically, it's the kind of person who isn't a roller coaster emotionally. We all know folks like that, you know, and that their lives aren't always fun, okay? Or steady. So, older men are to really set the tone of a congregation by their godly behavior in nature. So, let's talk a little bit more about this sound in faith, love, and perseverance. So, faith is G3982. It subjectively means, subjectively, it means firm in your persuasion. It means firm in your moral conviction, firm in your belief in the truth. Having a faithfulness, which, again, it's funny how they use the word to define it, that leads to veracity. Basically, having faith means being persuaded about what you believe, about what the Scripture has to say. It's a good thing. And how about sound in love? Well, that agape is that love word there. It's G26. We talked about this one before when I did the fruits of the Spirit. But it is that love which seeks only the highest good in others. And it is a love that is self-sacrificial, and it is given without considering the merit of the receiver. So, older men are to be an example of agape love. And how about perseverance? G5281, it means bearing up under, or patience, or endurance, as to things or circumstances. So, basically it means being patient in circumstances that are outside of your control. That is something that I certainly have observed about most of the older men that I know. That, in general, they're very patient in things that they have no control over. And I'm not always that patient in the things that I have no control over. So this is interesting, by the way. This perseverance, it is, again, endurance in things or circumstances under which they have no control. But this is in contrast to the word long-suffering, which is an endurance towards people. This is an endurance in situations that you have nothing, that you can't control. Okay? So another portion of this is that it means cheerful or hopeful in difficult situations. It's associated with hope and refers to that quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or to succumb under trial. Okay? So, older man, you got some things, some pretty important things to work on. I can't, and all kidding aside, I'm 40, so I'm not sure that I don't qualify as an older man. I don't. I've been young longer than some of you and older shorter than some of you. But the point is that I can't really consider myself an older man. And really our congregation doesn't have a lot of them anymore. And so I'll talk about that a little bit more as we move forward here. But aged men, you know, one of the things that happens with older men and older women, older people in general, is that sometimes they may be unhealthy in body due to physical infirmities. But you know what? The great thing is that I have seen in this congregation some older men who were very ill. And they had such great attitudes all the way up to the end. They didn't allow the circumstances of their situation to change who they were. You know, Mr. Hopper is a great example of that, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on. But older men are to be spiritually sound through an ever-increasing faith, love, and patience that God asks them to have. Older men have an important role to play in the congregation, and we have many great examples to which we can refer in the Scripture. There's a number of them that we can talk about, and let's go ahead and just look up some of these. Well, I'll just mention them so we can make sure and be finished tonight. But you think about Moses and Aaron. These guys were chosen to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. And they weren't exactly whippersnappers. They weren't young men. I mean, they did live longer than we did, but not that much. They were at the ages of 80 and 83. Now, I'm 40. I can't imagine being twice as old as I am now, and we wanted to lead anybody out of Egypt. Because that, guess what? That involved a lot of work, didn't it? And a lot of convincing, and a lot of prayers, and a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of physical effort. When they were already past that normal lifespan. I thought this was interesting. Let's go over to Psalm 90. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a perspective here. So if you go over to Psalm 90, verse 1 there, right above verse 1, depending upon the Bible you have, mine says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So this psalm is by Moses. Let's go over to verse 10. He says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Wait a minute. He was, if due to strength, he was in the due to strength era. according to his own words, he was an old man. But yet God chose that man, chose Moses and Aaron, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Men past their prime, quote unquote, is who God chose. Kind of deals with what we talked about earlier today, too, in the choosing of the next king of Israel after Saul. Didn't pick him according to what he looked like. Picked him according to his heart. What about Joshua and Caleb? Joshua was given the charge of leading the conquest of Canaan during the last 30 years of his life. He lived to be 110. So the last 30 years of his life, Joshua was called upon to lead the charge of the conquest of Canaan. Wow. How about Caleb? He was also very much involved. He was in his 80s as well. So who did God use to fight his battles? All the young men, right? all the guys with the muscles and the gusto. And the aged men who were willing to take a stand. That's who God chose to lead His people. So, a couple of other examples. How about Daniel? This is one that I think we often overlook, and in popular culture it certainly always is. But Daniel served God from the days of his youth for over 70 years. He was no stranger to serving God in hostile environments. He was well over 80 when he served as one of the three governors over the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel chapter 6 is where most of this stuff happens. Of course, he was thrown into the lion's den when he was over 80 years old. I believe the artist was Reuben, who painted a picture of a young man being thrown into the lion's den. He was totally wrong, and of course, for some reason, that's where popular culture sticks it. But he was an old man. He was over 80 years old when he was thrown into the lion's den. He was, again, older in his late 80s when he prospered in the reigns of Darius and Cyrus, Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian. Pretty interesting. I mean, this guy served God for over 70 years in his life. I mean, that's pretty commendable. So who did God use to stand as a beacon to the world? A man who could have said, "Haven't I done enough?" You know, Daniel's a guy who did an awful lot, who went through an awful lot, who saw an awful lot, saw a lot of people fail, saw a few win, and poured out himself and laid his life on the line to make a stand. And at any time, he could have said, "You know what, I've had enough, I'm done. I'm checking out, punching my card. You know, I'm going to go retire in the Bahamas." No. Guess what? Christian, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, retirement is not the end game of Christianity. It's not like you get to preach for 30 years, 40 years, and, "Yep, I'm retired now. I'll let all the young whippersnappers do it." It's not in the cards. So, what about the New Testament? Well, how about the guy we're reading about? How about Paul? He refers to himself as the aged, or the aged in Philemon. Yet, we know at this time in his life, he was busy writing letters. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, of course, Philemon. And he was under house arrest. And of course, then he was traveling and visiting and encouraging, and he was doing all these things up until the very last point that he could. So, who did God use to reveal half of the New Testament to the world? Well, a man who refused to retire. A man who basically went all the way to the end and said, "I have poured out my life, you do the same." Okay? What about some modern day examples of older men? You know, I think in the big picture of the church, a couple of guys always come to my mind, and they're getting older. But Jay Wilson. How old is Jay now? 69? Okay, I thought he was in his early 70s. That was close. So, anyway, I mean, Jay is 69 years old. Guys, the average lifespan in the United States is 74, 75. Jay's not going to be around forever, guys. But he has been a guy who has been an evangelist and had a significant role in bringing the gospel to hundreds, possibly thousands of people around the world. The last time I talked to Jay, you know, he wasn't talking about, you know, renting an RV and, you know, camping out at Lake Tahoe or something. You know, I mean, if anything else, he's going faster. He's working just as hard as he ever has, if not harder. So do we need an example of what an older man in Christ should look like? Absolutely. And there's one for us in Jay. You know, he unpackaged the power of the Holy Spirit. He unpackaged the truth of the new creation, and he presented it to the world, presented it to the church. And we're all, in one way or another, we're all benefactors of that. Really, it's amazing. And I'm thankful that Jay continues to press on. And imagine the wisdom that, I mean, I don't talk to Jay much, but imagine the wisdom that guy has. Imagine the situations he's seen. And do you think there's any Bible study question that he's ever been answered now that he can't answer? Or asked that he can't answer? No, I'm pretty sure he's heard it all. In every way, shape, and form, and probably several languages. But the point is that Jay's not slowing down. Okay? Because he knows what's on the other side. Well, another guy that comes to mind is Steve Doty. And, you know, with his work as an evangelist and with Direct Connect and Worldwide Humanitarian Aid, he's made inroads for the gospel in places hostile to the Scripture. I mean, a few years ago, he was talking about his trips, I believe it was to Burma. And I'm sorry, man, that was not fun. I mean, slogging through swamps and 105 degree heat and 300% humidity. I mean, the last time I checked, Steve's not a young man. So I'll put it on you for just a second. If these guys can do these things at their ages, what prevents you from getting your butt in the seat? I'm serious. I mean, I'll give you another example of somebody in our congregation. How about David Dodson? If you haven't noticed, he lost his left arm. Yet he's here every chance he can. He's not giving up. Are you? I hope not. What about a few other examples? What about men from our own congregation that have gone on to their great reward? What about Elvin Hopper? Man, I miss that guy. What'd you call him? 80 grand or 50 grand? Boulder? I mean, talk about a sober man. He used to battle with alcohol. I mean, he used to have a problem with it, and he would tell you that. But he was sober and dignified. Was he sound in his doctrine? Absolutely. What about in his teaching? Was he consistent? Was he faithful? Absolutely. Was he strong? Oh, yeah. He was a strong man. He was sure. He was passionate for the truth. That's one thing you could not miss about Hop. You might miss the fact that he loved you. But he did. He was passionate for the truth. He was willing to take a stand. And he also was responsible for bringing the gospel to many people. Including responsibility for bringing myself and Sue. Not directly, but indirectly. So, what about another guy? How about Don Love? I mean, 1987, you said, when he became a Christian? Okay, that's a long time. It was almost 30 years as a Christian. He's a consistent man. He was faithful. He was gentle. That's the thing I really appreciated about Don. He was a dignified, gentle man who knew the Scripture. He was sound in his teaching. He was honorable. And I was trying to remember the verse that he would write on the board all the time. It was Corinthians. Everything. Which one was it? You remember? It was everything be done in a timely manner. Properly in an orderly manner. And you know what? He was. He was here, clockwork. All the time. And he's the kind of guy that I think we can follow and emulate. Well, what about the Billings congregation today? Well, we have a few more older men in our congregation. Mr. Hunt. I had to pick up Mr. Hunt. We have a few older men in our congregation that have and are displaying the characteristics described here in Titus chapter 2. And as Paul exhorts all of us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, excel still more. The church needs you guys. They need you guys to stand. They need you guys to be faithful to the truth. And just as God is raising up elders to help with the care of the flock, older men are needed regarding the work in the local congregation. We need their temperate, dignified, sensible behavior to provide an example and a footing for the church as a whole. Because, you know, God wants men that would rather wear out from use than rust out from neglect. So, who does God use today? He uses aged men who refuse to stop working for the Lord. You need those examples, look around. And like I say, talk to Jay the next time you get the opportunity. And just listen for a hint. Any hint of slowing down, and you're not going to find it. So, it's not enough to be considered sound or healthy just because a person has stood for the truth in the past or served in the church for many years. An aged man who is spiritually sound continues to be temperate, dignified, and sensible, sound in faith and love and in perseverance, and willing to serve whenever and wherever his Lord gives him the opportunity. The sound doctrine of the Scripture calls for older men to bear fruit in old age. Let's go over to Psalm 92, verse 12 through 15. It says, "The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." And as Paul wrote, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. Here's a good reminder for all of us. He says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So no matter your age, keep pressing forward. Excel still more. And if you ever, again, need an example, just think about the guys who've come and gone from this congregation. And think about what the future looks like for men as we continue to grow. And as some of you guys will get there before I do, thank you. Thank you for standing firm. Thank you for your time.